As if it wasn't enough that he made his reputation this way, it finally came the day when it was time for his father to bless his sons. And it was the Jewish custom that the elder would receive the greater blessing. If you were the firstborn, you would get the greater blessing. Esau was due to get his father's greatest blessing. And Isaac was now very old. His eyesight was going. He was feeble. He was lying on his bed. He was days, if not hours, from death. And the word came, it's time for the blessing. Now, we might say, bless you, brother. But the people of the Old Testament understood that God had a special anointing upon the sons of Abraham. And that there was a promise of a whole nation and a deliverer, and all of these things came with it. And so the father's blessing was more than just a bless you, brother. It was a prophetic endowment, if you will, into your future. It's not sorcery. It's the blessing. The blessing. And so, Jacob, the heel grabber, the conniver, the cheater, the liar, was in true form. His brother was a lot like my brother. Esau was a hunter. My brother's a hunter. First time Carolyn met my brother, she said, "You're right, you two are nothing alike. You know, I'm a computer nerd. I'm more of the inside kind of guy. I'm more of the sit at the keyboard. My brother's a hunter. I talk with an Oklahoma accent, but nothing like my brother. How are you doing, Raj?" You know, he's one of those country hunters. Esau was a hunter. He was a woodsman. He smelled like the outdoors. Esau was also hairy. Thus his name, Esau. He was covered in red hair. So when the day came for the blessing, Jacob took part of a goat skin and put on his arm and on the back of his neck. And he went in and deceived his blind father out of the blessing. When the blessing was given, the blessing was given. There's no take backs with the blessing. The blessing was given. When Esau found out what happened, he said, "Father, what about my blessing?" Sorry, he got the blessing. He gave him a blessing, but it wasn't the blessing. Jacob got the blessing. Now, you and I are blessed because of Jesus Christ. We have received the blessing through Christ. Amen? But the blessing does not excuse the behavior. And Jacob continued to be the lying, conniving person he was. The Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap." And so this lying, cheating, conniving heel grabber had to flee for his life and went to his uncle Laban, where he fell in love with the most beautiful girl, one of Uncle Laban's daughters, Rachel. And he wanted Rachel so bad, and so Uncle Laban said, "If you work 7 years for me, you can have my daughter." And when you're in love, oh my gosh, time just flies, you know? And he worked for 7 years for this girl. And then Uncle Laban gave him some of his own medicine. He covered Leah, the one who had weak eyes. I don't know what that means. I interpret it as not nearly as pretty. I don't know, maybe she just had thick glasses. I guess they didn't have glasses in those days. Covered her in a veil, and he slept with her and realized that Uncle Laban had deceived him and reaped what he sowed. Reaped it. And had to work another 7 years. And then, as if that wasn't enough, Uncle Laban kept promising him certain things and then reneging. So finally, he had just had enough. He left. And now, Genesis 32 is him on his way back after these 14 years to meet his brother. And so, the scripture says that he sends these messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir. He's sending messengers ahead because He wants his brother to know he's coming, and he's hoping that after these 14 years, he still doesn't want to kill him. Verse 4. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And this until now was actually a God thing. Have you ever had anybody cheat you? How does that make you feel? Kind of makes you mad, doesn't it? And yet sometimes God will allow certain relationships to come to an end because it's time to move. It was time for Jacob to move. It wasn't God's will for Jacob to live where Uncle Laban lived. He was part of the Abrahamic covenant. There was an area he was supposed to be in, and it wasn't where Laban was. And so after these 14 years and after all of these children, and you know the story, they were in some kind of conception competition between the two wives and the two handmaidens cranking out babies like a machine. Right? And so this conception competition, when it finally ended and the 11 sons are there, just shy of the 12th of the patriarchs, God shut the door. So the next time someone cheats you or the next time someone does something, don't get mad. God may be closing a door. It may be time for you to move. It may be God's time. Just remember that. And so, he said, until now. Now it was the time. And I have oxen and asses and flocks and manservants and women servants. And I've sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight. Now we use that word grace quite a bit. We think of grace as God's unconditional, unwarranted favor. And it is. That's what we sing about, amazing grace. But oftentimes we forget that grace also works horizontally as well as vertically. I need grace when I mess up from people. I shouldn't have done that. You know, I should have communicated with you. I need some grace from you. I need favor. I need you to not be too hard on me because I'm pretty stupid sometimes and do the wrong things. And just as God endows grace on us, unmerited, unwarranted favor, we should be willing to give grace to others. Remember, Jesus told the story of the guy that owed the great debt to a guy, or he owed a little bit to a guy, he had a big debt. That's it. And he went to the creditor and he asked to be forgiven. He forgave him, and then he meets a guy who just owes him a little bit of money, and he has him thrown in jail, and when the judge hears about it, says, you know, I forgave you this great amount, why couldn't you forgive this little amount? That's about horizontal grace, isn't it? We receive God's vertical grace for our sins, how much more should we extend grace to someone else? And so he's asking his brother for grace in his sight. Verse 6. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to your brother Esau, and also he comes to meet you, and 400 men with him. Now, I always like to insert in this story here, gulp. You know, in the comic books, gulp is, you know, when you swallow real hard. Because the word is, yeah, he's coming here, and he's got 400 men with him. Now, the last time he saw his brother, he swore he was going to kill him that day. He had to flee town. And now he's coming with 400 men. Gulp. What does this mean? I mean, that's funny, but, you know, it's not funny if you're the one gulping. If you're just like, yikes. And we have gulp things in our life, you know. The IRS is getting ready to audit your taxes. That's a gulp. You know. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Now, that's kind of an understatement there. Greatly afraid and distressed could be synonymous with freaking out, wigging out, having a panic attack, you know, greatly afraid and distressed. I'm sorry, I made myself laugh there. You guys didn't think it was funny, but I thought it was funny. And he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands. Now, notice he's still the conniver. He's still the manipulator. He's still trying to figure out, okay, if I divide this in two bands, then before he can kill all of them, the other ones will have time to escape, right? I mean, this is still the way he's thinking. There are some people that have been Christians for years, but they still think this way. They're still trying to figure it out. They're still trying to fix their own problems. They're still the God of their lives, and they're not resting in the knowledge that God wants to take the reins. They're still trying to make it on their own wit and cunning, like Jacob. He's still doing it. He hasn't learned. And he said, if Esau comes to one company and smites it, then the other company is left to escape. He's planning for the worst. And Jacob says, oh God. Now we get to Jacob's prayer. Aren't you glad that when all else fails, we can pray? And so we come to Jacob's prayer. Oh God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country and thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all of the mercies and of all the truth which you have showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. The prayer of Jacob. Now it gets real with God. It just bugs me when I hear people pray in King James. There's nothing wrong with King James, but somehow they think that by saying, whithersoever thouest Father in heaven that dwelleth, that somehow, why don't you just get real with God? Why don't you just be real? Why don't you just tell him how you feel? Tell him, Lord, I'm scared. This is now Jacob getting real with God. He's laying it on the line. Yeah, I've made it this far on my wits, but I can't go back. Uncle Laban doesn't want me, and my brother's coming with 400 men. I'm trapped. I guess it's time to get real with God. I guess it's time. And that's what he's doing. The beginning of the prayer, he talks about the God of his parents. You can be the son of Billy Graham, and that won't get you into heaven. He reminds God of the covenant that he made with his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac, the God of his parents. And then he goes on to talk about the God who said unto me, return to this land. So now he's got a word from God. I'm here because you've closed the door and you've told me it's time to move. It's time to get back where I need to be. Sometimes God tells us, isn't it time you got where you need to be? The third thing in his prayer is he recognized his unworthiness. He said, I'm not worthy of the least of all of your mercies. I tell you, that is probably one of the greatest prayers you can pray. Jesus talked about the Pharisee who beat his chest and said, I am so spiritual, I fast, I pray on the street corner, standing there, but the other guy beating his chest, praying, not even lifting his eyes to heaven, saying, have mercy on me, I'm not worthy. And he said that man went home justified. Recognizing that you are an undone person, that you are a sinner, that you will never aspire to greatness of yourself, that anything you are will be by God's grace, is the greatest prayer you can pray. I am not worthy of the least of your mercies. And the fourth thing he said in this passage is, I don't deserve the blessings you bestowed upon me. Hallelujah. When you can come to that place, God can bless you. God can't bless you until you understand you don't deserve the blessings. And when you understand that you don't deserve it, God can give it to you. It's that attitude of the heart. And then he goes on to say in verse 12, and you said, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitudes. So we see that the prayer ends with Jacob reminding God of his promise. And that is awesome. Aren't you glad we have great, precious, exceeding promises that we can stand on and remind God of his promises? Now, we come to the gifts, verse 13. And he lodged there that same night, and he took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau, his brother. 200 she-goats, and 20 he-goats, and 200 ewes, and 20 rams, and 30 milch camels, and their colts, and 40 kine, and 10 bulls, and 20 she-asses, and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servant, every drove by themselves. And he said to his servants, pass over before me, and put a space between the drove and the drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meets you and asks you, saying, what are these, and where are you going, and whose are these before you, then you will say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, also he's behind us. And so he commanded, and so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the drove, saying, on this manner you shall speak unto Esau when you find him. Now, he really wanted to be sure that the word got to him. He has all these people. He might come from over here, over here, over here. We've got to cover all our bases, make sure that the word gets to him. This is a gift from your brother. He loves you, you know. Don't kill him, right? Verse 20. And he said, moreover, behold, your servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the presents that go before me. And afterwards I will see his face. Preadventure, he will accept me. So he's hoping that this will bring peace. Proverbs 16:17 says that when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Buying people gifts is not the answer. Pleasing God is the answer. So went the presence over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company, and he rose up that night, and he took two of his wives and two women servants, and his 11 sons, and he passed over the ford Jabbok. And when he took them, he sent them over to the brook, and he sent over that he had. And now we come to the chapter in Jacob's life that is probably the most important chapter in any person's life who has ever lived for God. It is that hour where God blesses us. It is that hour where we prevail. And when I say we prevail, I do not mean we prevail like through cunningness like Jacob. It is that area where we seek God's blessing in spite of ourselves. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, Genesis says that he wrestled with a man. But if you've ever heard this story, you say, I thought he wrestled with an angel. Well, it was an angel. you know, the Bible says be careful who you talk to. Some have talked to people and entertained angels unaware. We read in Hosea chapter 12, beginning of verse 3, he took his brother by the heel of the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke with us, even the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorial. Therefore, turn thou to thy God and keep mercy and judgment and wait on God continually. So Hosea, in his commentary, reminds us that this was indeed an angel of the Lord that Jacob is wrestling with. Now, what's the deal with wrestling? I mean, were they just the WWF fans or what? You know, why the wrestling? We wrestle today. The Bible says we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, Ephesians chapter 6, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. We wrestle in prayer. And Jacob's wrestling match with his angel is a symbol of prevailing prayer. It is that kind of prevailing prayer that breaks through the demonic hegemony that separates you from God. This angel in verse 26 said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." And I love Jacob's response here. He said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Say that with me. I will not let you go except you bless me. This is the attitude of prevailing prayer. Jacob was tenacious. Tenacious is defined as tending to keep a firm hold on something, clinging or adhering to closely. Tenacious. We are to be tenacious in prayer. We are not to quit. We are not to let go. I heard someone tell me once, if you have to pray more than once, you don't have faith. I had to think about that for a while, and then I realized they didn't know what they were talking about. Yes, we need to have faith, but Jesus taught about the woman who had had the atrocity done to her and went to the unjust judge. And he said, though the unjust judge didn't care about the widow woman, regarded neither man or God, but gave her everything she wanted because she just kept coming. And the Bible says, if you keep seeking and keep knocking and keep asking, you will receive what you ask for. This is that tenaciousness. I know I've asked you twice. I know I've asked you 12 times. I know I've asked you 15 times, God. Unless you tell me emphatically, no, I'm going to keep asking because I'm going to hold on and I'm not going to let go until you bless me. This is the tenaciousness of Jacob's prayer. The audacity of a man wrestling with God. The audacity of a man who had the audacity to say, no, I can't go on like this anymore. Being a heel grabber, being a conniver, being a manipulator, it hasn't gotten me anywhere. I think I can succeed on my wit, but now I can't go forward and I can't go backward. I am at a crossroads in my life, and unless you change me, God, I can't make it. I'm not letting go until you bless me. I won't do it. When I look at my weaknesses, I relate to Jacob. When I look at the times I tell God I'm going to do this and then I don't. When I start out to fast and get one of those headaches and say, I think I'll eat a cheeseburger instead. When I see my own weaknesses, I get frustrated with myself. And I come to the River Jabbok and I say, God, I'm not letting go until you bless me. I know I'm weak. I know I'm flawed. I know I'm no better than Jacob. I'm not worthy of the least of your blessings, but I will not let go until you bless me. Thank you. Hallelujah. Now Jacob says to him, what's your name, boy? No, Jacob says to the angel, what's your name? Now, why does he want to know his name? who cares what his name is? I just don't want you. I want you to bless me. I'm going to hold on to this angel. But now Jacob asks his name. And you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of when David said, I want to build you a house, God. And what did God say to him? No, David, I'm going to build you a house. I think that it's okay that he's asking his name. I think he's wanting now to go past the material blessing and go to the relationship level. It's the heart of David, and I want to build you a house, God. But God says, no, David, I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to build the house of David, and it'll be a perpetual house, and the Messiah will come out of this house of David, and it will reign forever. That's the house I'm going to build for you, David. When we seek to get so close to God that we want to know him intimately, when we seek to get to this level, God inevitably turns the thing around and says, no, I'm going to give you something. So he asks him what his name is. Now, of course, we know what Jacob's name is. Jacob is the heel grabber. He has the reputation of being the manipulative, lying heel grabber. But he says to him, your name is about to change. Your name is no more going to be Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, you have power with God and men and have prevailed. You see, when you come to that place in tenacious prayer, when you refuse to let go, that's when God begins to say, you know what? You're not going to be a manipulative, lying, cheating, heel grabber anymore. Because you are tenacious in prayer, you will now be known as power with God. I like that title, don't you? Power with God. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that you dost ask me after my name? And he blessed him there. Paul said, that I may know you, the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering. And he blessed him there. He blessed him there because he wanted to know. He wanted a relationship with God. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, where he said, I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Peniel, and the sun rose on him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel do not eat the sinew, which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Now, as we close, coming up, Nola, as we close, I want to remind you one other thing. From that day forward, Jacob walked with a limp and with a cane. From that day forward, from that night of destiny when Jacob wrestled with God, though he was blessed, though his destiny was forever changed, though he was no longer known as the heel grabber but power with God, he also had a reminder of that encounter. He walked with a limp. Well, what does that have to do with me, Brother Roger? Many of us here carry some scars internally from certain chapters of our life. Many of us here have lost loved ones. Many of us have lost jobs or careers. Many of us have health issues. Many of us have emotional scars that no one can see. And we feel handicapped because of these emotional scars. We have an emotional limp. We have an emotional hollow in our muscular tissue. We are scarred, and we will carry that scar until we see Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? But if that scar can point back to a night of tenacious prayer, if that incident that happened to you, God used to change you, then that limp becomes the testimony of God's power in your life. Amen. And so we do not look back to that chapter of our life and say, oh, I wish that hadn't happened. We look back to that chapter of our life and say, that's the day God changed my name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Praise God. That's the night God changed my name. If you're here this morning and maybe you have, like Jacob, been guilty, like all of us at times, been guilty of trying to do it on your own wit. You've been guilty of just feeling like, you know, I don't need a God, I don't need God, I don't need man, I got this, I can do this on my own. I'm a self-made man. That's kind of a common term people use. But maybe you take survey of your life and you recognize, like Jacob, that you come to those places, those river Jabbok's, where you can't go forward and you can't go back. And maybe God has brought you to this crossroads in your life where you need to have a wrestling match with God. You need to just get real with God, not religion, not rhetoric, just telling God how you feel about all of this. Just being real, just laying it out there and saying, God, I don't know if I believe this or I don't know if I understand that, I need to have an encounter with God today. God will meet you there. Maybe you've had that encounter. Maybe you've been there and the devil's been reminding you of your scar, your limp, your emotional trauma in your life, and been trying to make you think that, you know, that you are less because of that. But God wants you to know that that night, that day, that event has brought you to where you are right now. And you need to recognize that as a testimony of what God has done in your life. And lastly, and we're going to close, just hang with me one more minute. Lastly, just wait on the Lord for a minute. What God wants from you is your recognition that as a Christian, you've been grafted into the tree. So when Jacob prayed to the God of his father Isaac and the God of his grandfather Abraham and reminded him of his covenant, that you need to remind God that you have been grafted into the tree and that you have the promises of Abraham in your life and that you don't have to settle for second best anymore. You don't have to settle. You are part of the family of God. Quit looking and thinking of yourself as a second class Christian. You are just as righteous and just as much inheritance as anybody in this world. That is your heritage. That is your testimony. That is your heritage in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, today we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that we can have power with God in prayer. That we can wrestle. We can be tenacious. We can say, God, I'm not letting go until you bless me. Now, this has nothing to do with me. I'm not worthy of the least of your blessings. Lord, I am just as guilty as Jacob of being manipulative at times or trying to do it on my own strength. the Lord, today I am at the crossroads. Today, everything must change. I will not let go until you bless me. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a big hug before you go.